Let's now turn to the passage of God's word that we read, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. And the words that we're going to consider this morning are used to help us to consider what the scripture teaches about impatience, are the words of verse 2, Ephesians 4 and verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. With all patience, that's what should characterize us. Yet the truth is that so often we are impatient. It is that recently I was out getting some groceries, and on the way back home, it is that I remembered I hadn't had my coffee that morning, and I thought I would stop in at a Tim Hortons and get a coffee for myself. When it is that I arrived at the Tim Hortons, the drive-through, there were so many cars, I thought it'd be better for me just to park and go in and get my coffee within the store itself. Now, at this point, when I walked in, there was nobody in front of me in the queue. It is that others started to line up behind me, and there was only one person serving. And it just so happened that the person whom they were serving at this point was there with what you might term as an office order. And the thing about this office order was that it was for eight of everything. Not only that, but it was a situation where this person was frequently getting calls from their work colleagues as they would talk to her on the phone, and it is that what they were asking for seemed to change time and time and time again. All I wanted was a coffee, but it was that I had to wait. I hadn't gone to the drive-thru, as I said, and then I realized I would have been quicker probably spending time in the drive-thru. As I stood there waiting, I felt myself becoming impatient. It is that a new irritability is starting to, as it were, be found within me. And I knew that there was a long line of people starting to gather behind me. And as the time went on, and it is that this individual was still mucking about in terms of what the order was to be, you could sense the feeling of impatience that was building up behind me and the irritability of the folks that were in the queue. Eventually, it was that I got my coffee, and I was thankful that I was wearing a mask so that the look in my face couldn't be seen by anybody at that point. And the girl with the large office order, it is that she left and seemed blissfully unaware of the angst and the impatience and the irritability it is that she had promoted. Now, it is that I hope that I'm saying this, that you're laughing along with myself, even as I recount what happened that day. And you perhaps may be saying to yourself, concerning today's sermon title, I'm not somebody who's impatient, and I'm certainly not somebody who gets irritable. And that's when it is that I reply, really? This doesn't apply to you as one who's found in the midst of this fallen world and even as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? The reason that I'm saying this is because I think there's nobody here or online who would deny that often it is that we are impatient and it leads to irritability, that itself is something that we can't hide, and often it is that it becomes evident in terms of our relationships, in terms of our speech, even in terms of our demeanor as we live amongst the people of our day. So, try and answer some questions. Don't worry, you only need to answer them within your mind at this point. How many of you listening to me are by nature patient? How many of you listening to me are by nature patient? And secondly, is there anyone who finds patience as natural as breathing? Is anyone? Anyone who finds patience as natural as breathing? It is that I'm giving the opportunity for that man, that woman, and that young person who instinctively responds to people in aggravating circumstances, and does so with a controlled spirit. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody online? Silence is golden, because it is that I don't think in human terms that we will ever come across anybody so to be considered. That's why it is that we need to consider the next sin that Bridges deals with in his book, Respectable Sins. And it is that he deals with, in a few short pages, the sins of impatience and irritability. And that's why it is that we're taking as our text today, Ephesians 4 and from verse 1. And it is that Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And one of the ways in which it is that that calling is made manifest, that your life and your faith expresses itself in the fact that you're impatient and you're not irritable. So what it is that I want to do in the time that's left to us is to consider what it is that the Scripture says about impatience and how it is that as it urges us to be patient, what he typifies in patience, why it is that we are impatient as God's people, and why it is that this is a sin that we really need to take seriously and not laugh at and say, oh, well, it's just the way I am. It is that it's been something that's always been in my family. We've been impatient people, and so on. So let's then define again what impatience is. Bridges gives us a definition of impatience, and it's this, and I quote, "A strong sense of annoyance at the usually unintentional faults and failures of others. It's that that promotes and that that he drives and speaks of impatience." And what it is that it's saying to us, I think, is that no one comes by patience naturally, that no one instinctively responds to difficult people and circumstances and interruptions without at least some sense of irritation and anger that can be hidden at times, yet more often than not expresses itself. And it is that no one encounters opposition to whatever plans you have, whether for your day or whether of something that's of great importance, without some degree of agitation and frustration that you find expressing itself in your life. In other words, patience, to put it simply, is counterintuitive to us as fallen human beings. It's not something with which it is that any of us are born. It is that we're born into the world and with our fallen nature screaming, feed me now, pick me up now, put me down now. And that's just the way it is, even in terms of a baby. And sadly it is that as we grow up, and even today some adults, never seem to get beyond this stage. And it's almost as though that they in their own lives are like the baby, and it is that they're saying to those around about them, feed me now, pick me up now, put me down now, do this for me now, do that for me now. And if it is that we don't do it in the way that they're asking, and in terms of the time frame that they're putting before us, then 9 times out of 10, the response is one of impatience and irritability. But what it is that you do in terms of the child, you teach it that as it grows up and as it matures into manhood or womanhood, that if it is that they're still screaming and shouting and getting to seek to get their own way as they're adults, it is that life will be extremely hard, even harder than perhaps they ever thought it would be. And in fact, this so-called respectable sin, I think, is so serious for Christians that if it is that you're of an impatient spirit, if it is that it's a sin that you don't really care about or even seek, as it were, with the help of God's Spirit to control, if it is that you don't conquer impatience in your life, it will lead to sins that not only can alter your life negatively, but it is that it can also alter the lives of those around about you in negative ways as well. In other words, your impatience, your irritability, it's not just something that you have to deal with, but by the very nature of life itself, it is that it's something that the body of Christ has to deal with, and it is therefore that it's something of vast importance. When it is that Paul speaks about their calling and what it is that should manifest itself in their walk as Christians, it is that Paul is saying that increasingly patience is a work of God's grace, and it's a work of God's grace in the human heart, and it is a fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Last year, I think, when it was that we were in Galatians chapter 5 and from verse 22, and as we considered the various aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, one of the things that we took time to consider was that one of the aspects of the fruit in the life of the believer was a patience. But the ongoing difficulty for us even since then is that we have to acknowledge and recognize that the sin of impatience is the hallmark of our culture and the society in which we live. The whole idea of shortcuts is something that is mainstay to our lives and culture. Think of the many ways that quick ways that things are promoted as being done. We've got everything from instant soup to instant credit to instant wins to instant cash to instant weddings to instant divorces and so on. And as a culture, it is that we talk about quality. And then it is that we invent ways to make everything happen quickly to avoid the time that it takes for quality. That's why it is that places like IKEA have become so fashionable and indeed have made such great profits. For it is that you're able to get the flat pack, whatever it is or may be, and you're able to assemble it quickly, and you're able to change the house or the room in which it is that you're putting the piece of furniture, and it's something that will last, it's something that's cheap, but in terms of quality, you've just got to scrape away the veneer that's in the top, and it is that you find particle board of one sort or another, and the quality's not there. And sometimes it is that I think that this can be the way for us as God's people. But when it is that we seek shortcuts of one sort or another, that if we rub, as it were, the veneer of Christianity and the veneer of faith, rather than finding the Spirit of God and the Word of God within us, transforming us and directing us, what it is that we find is really particle board Christianity. And that's why it is that when something happens to promote patience and irritability, it happens to us so easily because the quality of our Christianity and the quality, as it were, of what we are in Christ, it's gone because it is that we want to do things quickly. And that's the exact opposite of what it is that Jesus himself does for his church. Think of it. Jesus, the movement that Jesus began is constituted by people who believe that they have all the time in the world, and the reason they have all the time in the world is because it's something that's made possible by God's patience to challenge the world's impatient violence by the cross of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. That it is that at the appropriate time, at the God-ordained time, it is that Christ went to the cross. And while there were those even in the early stages, perhaps, of Christ's ministry, who sought to push him on, Christ said to them, I respond to the beat of a different drum. I respond to the beat of my Father, drumbeat of my Father in heaven. So therefore, it's important that we consider this today. And there are certain things that I think that we need to remind ourselves concerning impatience, if it is that we would want to be able to say, Paul, I recognize my walk, I recognize the worthiness of my calling, and therefore it is that I am somebody who exercises patience as a fruit of the Spirit. So what's the first thing then? Well, the first thing concerning impatience is amnesia. Amnesia. Impatience, and those of us who are of an impatient spirit as God's people, it reveals that what we suffer from is spiritual amnesia. You see, impatient Christians, and if that's the way with you, it is that you've forgotten that you live in the constant presence of God who is working out all things in your life for his glory and for his good. Let's take a case study of this. And that's the wonderful thing about the Old Testament, that we're given so many case studies of how it is not only that God dealt with his people, but how it is that God's people ended up in the situations that they were found in. I don't know about you, but I'm astonished every time I read the account of the Exodus. How can the people of Israel so quickly complain like they do to Moses? How is it that a people who had witnessed so many marvelous and wondrous things could be so ignorant, so stupid, and so forgetful? Think on it. The God of the universe has just tossed around the most powerful man in the then-known world, and it is that he's been like a toddler with a rag doll. And we tend to forget that God didn't just humble Pharaoh, but it is that God broke the spirit of Pharaoh, and in doing that, he revealed the impotence that was Pharaoh's. And it is that a slave people, and the God of the slave people left Pharaoh and his nations in a shambles. It was wrecked. It was done with. And it is that we know that the Scripture tells us that this display of power sent vibrations throughout the world. It was something that inspired awe and fear. And so it is that this disease of spiritual amnesia, it's absolutely deadly. Israel's response to this spectacular deliverance from Egypt is not mainly praise, worship, and wholehearted trust. Instead, what is it that Israel does? It responds with grumbling. It responds with complaining. It responds with murmuring and quarreling. Moses, there's no water. Where's the beef, Moses? it is that we're fed up with the food that we're eating every day. Moses, I've got blisters on my feet. Moses, who died and made you boss? Are we there yet, Moses? What we find there is that spiritual amnesia set in quickly and covered the eyes of Israel's hearts. So soon had they forgotten God's gracious and miraculous deliverance. It's absolutely astounding. And it is that we see how it manifested itself in impatience and irritability. The people of Israel, on the heels of unthinkable miracles with their pockets full of Egyptian jewelry, grumble at the less than five-star accommodations in the desert. It wasn't just a headache-induced grumbling or a low blood sugar complaining, but this was a faithlessness. It is the heart that says, I know better than God. If only God would follow my plan, and my plan in accordance with my time and in accordance with why I wanted this thing to happen. And I think that this gives us an insight into the subtle but deadly effect of impatience. You see, impatience, really, at root level, is a form of unbelief. It's what we begin to feel when we start to doubt the wisdom of God's timing or the goodness of his guidance. It springs up in our hearts when it is that the road to success gets difficult, when it is that there's obstacles of one sort or another. And the battle that we face with impatience can be a little skirmish over a long wait in a checkout line, or it can be a major combat expedition in terms of a handicap or a disease or circumstances that basically knock our dreams and desires out of the picture. You see, impatience, even as God's people, tempts you to make rash counter moves, tempts you to go along a strategy of your own making, and tempts you in your own strength to seek to remove obstacles of one sort or another that are in your way and to cast them to the side. Impatience tempts you to be impetuous. It tempts you to be hasty. It tempts you to be reckless. It tempts you to be impulsive. I mean, if you're out in the car and you don't turn your car around and go home, it is that often you'll rush into some ill-advised detour to try and beat the system. That's what I did. I thought I could beat the system. The drive-through, there were so many vehicles, and I thought, I'm going to do it this way. I'm impatient. I want my coffee. And it is that I ended up, through my impatience, becoming extremely irritable. Or what about in terms of our relationships? Maybe it is that you're in a challenging marriage. You've got an insensitive spouse. And it is that you've been praying and praying and praying for that spouse to be changed. And it is that your impatience with God is something that's almost at a critical point. Why? Because it is that the spouse that you're praying for seems to be evidencing no change at all. And whichever way you look at it, whatever example you take, we all have to battle with impatience. Why? Because impatience is a battle against unbelief. And therefore, impatience is not merely a personality issue. It strikes at the very root and heart of what it means to have faith in Jesus Christ. And it's an issue of whether you live by faith and whether you inherit the promises of eternal life. That's how serious this is. It's not a respectable sin, and we can just say, oh, well, that's the way they are. That's their personality. No. It deals with the very heart and indeed essence of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, patience in doing the will of God, patience is in walking according to our calling in the will of God, is not an optional virtue in the life of the Christian. And the reason it's not is because faith in the life of the Christian is not an optional virtue. Patience is the fruit of faith, and impatience is the fruit of unbelief, and so the battle against impatience basically is the battle against unbelief. And so the chief weapon in this respect is the Word of God, especially his promises. So how do we apply that today? Well, I think like this. When we're tempted to be impatient, stop, pause and remember who God is, and remember that God is always present and God is always at work. Remember that He is using whatever it is that's tempting you to be impatient to develop the character of His Son in you, and a Son who is super patient, and a Son who by His Spirit and in terms of the work of sanctification will produce it in us as well if we respond correctly and spiritually. So what I'm saying is this, that Christians who are impatient are God's children who have forgotten their God. Let me say it again. Christians who are impatient and who end up being irritable are Christians and are God's children who have forgotten their God. They are exhibiting their forgetfulness that fails to recognize that God's presence and His work in our lives, that it's something that we can sense very clearly sometimes, but also all the time. We need to keep reminding ourselves that God is the one who is in control. Is that something you do daily? Is that something you're doing at this moment in time, and particularly in the circumstances with regard to COVID? That no matter what's happening, no matter what the world says, no matter the temptations that even come our way, you need to keep reminding yourself that God is the one who is in control, and that the circumstances that occur in your life, in the past, and in the days to come, are sovereignly brought about by this God, and they are used by our God to teach us and to grow us, even the ones that would tend to give us seemingly an opportunity to become so impatient. So are you suffering from amnesia? I hope not. Second thing I think in terms of impatience and why it's so deadly is in terms of what I've called avariciousness. In other words, insatiable greed. That's what avariciousness is. It's a fancy word for greed and insatiable greed. And so it is that impatience by its very nature reveals that we are a sinfully selfish people and that we are in the constant need of God's grace. And this empowering grace is to prevent harmful outbursts from our impatience through words and actions that others will receive. You see, impatience really boils down to people and circumstances not conforming to your desire or your schedule. Is that not an apt description of selfishness? The desire for our wills to be done. There's an example that I think has been made manifest within the past month and in terms of the Governor General of Canada. And it is that you know her name, Julie Payette. Now, it is that Julie Payette, really, in many ways, a very accomplished female woman. She's a scientist. She's been a pilot. She's been an astronaut. It is that she speaks six languages fluently. And it is that she's a Juno-nominated a singer and songwriter. She's had two space flights. It is that she's been on the shuttle twice and so on. It's also the case that she's no friend of Christianity. And it is that she made that very clear in some of her articles in the early days of her being Governor General. But it is that it seems that even in spite of all these, it is, as it were, things that characterize her, that make you think, wow, she's a genius. It is that for the third time, it seems, she's somebody who's brought toxicity into the workplace. So much so that it is that now she's no longer Governor General in terms of the complaints that were made. And do you know why I think probably she's been like that? Because in a sense, she's so far removed from mere mortals like ourselves. She's so up there, as it were, in terms of her intellect and accomplishments, that she's got no time for those, in a sense, who cannot do things as correctly or as competently or as quickly as she herself is able to do them. And therefore, for that reason, she's impatient, and the impatience has ended up manifesting itself in irritability, in shouting at people, in humiliating people, and so many other things. But I think she's a perfect example of what it is that I'm talking about today. And if it is that you then transfer this to the Christian walk, that's what makes impatience as Christians such a heinous sin against God. Because basically what it's doing is this, it's sending the message to heaven, not your will be done, but my will be done. And that's so antithetical to what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Because of what it is that we do is we're allowing impatience to butt head with God's sovereignty. And you'll never win. It is that God will easily butt you, as it were, to kingdom come. And it's something that needs to be fought in the power of God's word and spirit and to be replaced by the glorious virtue of godly patience. And you and I know that there are other unintentional faults or failures that manifest themselves. We've said people not running on your time schedule. What about traffic and slow drivers? If you've ever been with Rod and I, traveling to Presbyterian Synod, one of the things that you know is that I'm always complaining about lane discipline in Ontario. Lane discipline in Ontario is abysmal. And what do I mean by lane discipline? Well, once you overtake somebody, you should be then going into the inside lane. But what we have here are people sitting in the middle lane who are doing 80 kilometers an hour when they can be doing 100. We've got people on the outside lane, the fast lane, the overtaking lane, and it is they're doing 80 and they could be doing 100. I remember when I was driving in the autobahns in Germany that it is that you could be fined for having no lane discipline. Sometimes I think that maybe it's something that should be done here. Rod knows only too well that sometimes he's got to say to me when I'm driving and I'm in the fast lane and there's somebody doing 80 kilometers an hour in front of me, Alan, just take your time. Take your time. Don't be so impatient, Alan. We'll get there. You know what I'm meaning. What about parents impatient with their children not learning what they want them to learn quickly? How many parents have cracked up at their children? How come you don't know this by now? Shouldn't you know it by now? Think about how impatience has produced a new crop of broken homes and millions of more new ulcers, and how it set the stage for future wars. And in no area of our lives, I think, even as Christians, has impatience been more damaging than in a domestic scene. Why do I say this? Well, I was reading about a woman who was a professing Christian, and it seems that she was an extremely a lovely Christian woman, but she had a problem. And the problem was she was very impatient. And one day her pastor was visiting, and he was speaking to her husband when she was in the kitchen making the tea or the coffee. And it is that the pastor began to speak to her husband about his soul. And this is how the man replied, and I quote, "My wife is a good woman. But if religion would make me as impatient as she is, I want no part of it." Wow. Let me say it again. "My wife is a good woman, but if religion would make me as impatient as she is, I want no part of it." So what did the pastor do? Well, he had a frank talk with the woman, and in tears and humility, she confessed that one of her main sins was the sin of impatience. She began to pray that the Lord would help her. And so she took to heart that exhibiting patience with her husband and before her husband would be a way in which she could testify that God is in the business of transforming people, that God is in the business of making his people more like Jesus Christ. And if there was anybody who was patient, it was Christ. Do you not sense sometimes when you read through the gospel accounts that there must have been a great temptation at times to be impatient with his disciples? Do you not get it yet, guys? Are you so foolish? Are you so slow of heart to believe? And so on. And yet he was so patient with them as he is with us. know of that today, of a Jesus who is patient and patient with you, and who desires that as the Spirit sanctifies you through the Word, that you would exhibit patience and the patience of God in your life. In some ways, and we could spend another sermon on this, one of the great attributes of God in terms of his essence is that he himself is patience. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He would be well within his rights to cast us off into a lost eternity immediately. But that's not the way he is. He's patient. So impatience speaks about amnesia, spiritual amnesia. Impatience, it speaks about avariciousness, an insatiable appetite and hunger. And the third thing with which we close is that impatience speaks of something that's afflictive. And it, what I'm saying is that it can afflict people, but especially afflict in the church setting. You see, in the history of the church, and even in terms of philosophies, impatience, I think, is increasingly and typically the door through which pragmatism gains entry into the church. Now, pragmatism, in terms of an understanding of its philosophical background and basis, really goes back to the USA and in the 19th century. And it's something that in many ways has infected even the church down through the past 150 years. And the reason that this pragmatism is so dangerous toward us is that pragmatism usually looks for immediate solutions without considering whether the answers that it gives will work in the long haul. You see, pragmatism, as the church and as God's people, is what we turn to when it is that we don't know what to do next, and it is that we don't possess the virtue necessary to simply be faithful and still in the tension, strain, and ambiguity that sometimes comes with a having to be patient. You see, the move toward pragmatism is an act of profound mistrust. And the corrupting influences of pragmatism afflict the church and are found in the church, and pragmatism disdains any hope of discovering ultimate truth. And so it's the philosophy which, in terms of its end, it says that the end always justifies the means. And we see that with regard to the trial of Jesus, how it is that two of the most important players, Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, when you read about the decisions that these individuals came to, it was they were expedited on the basis of expediency, pragmatic, and it was on the basis of impatience and debility with the person and work and ministry of Jesus Christ. And you see, the impatient spirit, therefore, destroys the conviction that the gospel can be called good news. Why? Because it's not up to us. We can't generate the gospel. The reason the gospel is good news is because we could never in the month of Sundays imagine a God who would come for us in the way that God did through the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ. And to live into that story, believing, as it were, that the finished work of Christ is enough, it's something that does take great patience. That's why Paul here in Ephesians 4 and 2 says to them, I urge you, walk in a manner that is worthy with your calling in patience. And remember, he's writing from a prison cell. If there was anybody who was tempted to become impatient, it was the Apostle Paul. Yet at this point, he's saying, brothers and sisters, you have to be patient, even as I am patient. And this is the question when it is, as Christians, that we're tempted to be pragmatic, that when it is that we begin to express impatience, we're really asking the question, do I believe that the gospel is enough? Do I believe that the word of God is enough? That I believe that the good news and the person and the work and the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is enough? Or is it the case that as a Christian, as the church, it needs a little marketing and it needs a little strategic plan? You see, those who believe simply in the gospel, those who exercise their faith in terms of a God who does all things well in accordance with his will and for our good are content to simply tell the good news and that God's purposes would advance in his power. I think God is saying the same thing to us today. And it is that we need to remember God's patience toward each one of us. Those of us who are parents, I'm sure that at times when our children were growing up, and even if we've got young children at the moment, sometimes they can move you to be impatient and then irritable. How much more then as God's children? And yet, what has God done? One writer I was reading talked about looking at God's fingerprints all over your life. Maybe some of you have read this, but let me hear the things that he writes. He says, take a moment and look back on God's fingerprints all over your life. Remember how God has protected you from making shipwreck of your life. Remember how God graciously let you grow up in a godly family. I sometimes think we forget that too often, those of us in that situation. Remember how God awakened you to the ugliness of your sin. Remember how God walked away from that terrible car crash. Remember how your wife, sister, or mother survived breast cancer. Remember how you had mentors and key friends guide you in your faith. Remember how God sustained you during that season of unemployment. Remember how God miraculously healed you. Remember that impossible prayer request that God answered. Remember how you had no money and an envelope just showed up in the mail with exactly the amount you needed. Remember how the gospel came alive as it never had before. And finally, remember God. Because when we are impatient, we're forgetting God. And so what we need to do is to recall and remember God's gracious deliverance. The fact that you and myself as sinners were enemies of God and are now beloved children and have God as our Father in heaven and Jesus Christ as our elder brother is a miracle. It really is. And what I'm saying then is don't let that wonder ever fade. Because when it is that you begin to let the wonder of the gospel fade and what Jesus has done in your life and can do in the life of others, then you open the door wide for impatience. I pray that all of us increasingly in the days to come that we would walk in a manner worthy of our calling and that would be made manifest, not in being impatient and irritable, but in exercising patience in the power of God and His Spirit. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Father, it is that we thank you that you do not treat us as our sins deserve, and that in itself reminds us of how patient you are with us. It is that you give to us, in a way, a foundation to rely on your patience when your word tells us that the good work that you have begun, you will bring it on to the day of completion. Therefore, it is that we, in our calling, should be those who rest, as it were, in your sovereign plan and will for us. Forgive us for the times when we forget this. Forgive us for the times when we those who are exercising unbelief. We pray, Father, that each one of us, either here physically or online, wherever it is that we are in the unfolding of your providence for us, that we would continue to be patient and indeed pray to be delivered from an impatient spirit. Go with us then through the rest of the day and forgive sin. In Jesus' name, amen.